Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastatyadi Sitarini Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurati Shenama Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divacha Vishnaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So text this morning is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text 1. Brahmanuvacha duratyaye dvanyaja jaya niveshito rajastama sattva vibhakta kamadrik sa isha shartorta para paribrahman bhavata vim, sorry, bhavata vim yati nasha mavindati. Word for word translation. Brahma uvacha, the Brahman Jagparat continued to speak. Duratyaye, which is very difficult to traverse. Advani, on the path of fruitive activities, performing actions in this life, creating a body in the next life by those actions, and in this way, continuously accepting birth and death. Ajaya, by Maya, the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Niveshita, caused to enter. Rajatama Sattva Vibhakta Kamadrik, a conditioned soul who sees only immediately beneficial fruitive activities and their results, which are divided into the three groups by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sa, he, esha, this, sa artha, the living entity falsely seeking sense gratification, artha para, intent upon gaining wealth, paribrahman, wandering all over, bhava artha vim, the forest known as bhava, which means the repetition of birth and death. Yati, enters. Na, not. Sharma, happiness. Vindati, obtains. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jagbharat, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, my dear King Rahugan, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, the living entity can see only the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious, and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic theory of liberation, merging with the Supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters a forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve happiness within this material world. Purport by Zivangir Srila Prabhupada. One can very easily understand how difficult and insurmountable the path of sense gratification is. Not knowing what the path of sense gratification is, one becomes implicated in the repetition of births and accepts different types of bodies again and again. Thus, one suffers in material existence. In this life, one may think he is very happy being an American, Indian, Englishman, or German. But in the next life, one has to accept another body among 8,400,000 species. The next body has to be immediately accepted according to karma. One would be forced to accept a certain type of body, and protesting will not help. That is the stringent law of nature. Due to the living entity's ignorance of his eternal blissful life, he becomes attached to material activities under the spell of Maya. In this world, he can never experience happiness, yet he works hard to do so. This is called Maya. Oma gina tibidandasya jnana gina shalakaya chakshu litam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manovistam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadanti Kam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Hari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Vanchakalpati Rubhyascha Kripasanibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai. So, I'll read the English translation again. Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Jatparat, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, "My dear King Raghugan, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of nature, of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, the living entity can only see fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious, and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic theory of liberation, merging with the Supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters the forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve happiness within this material world." All right, so Jatparat, fully realized Brahman, which means he has now come to the level of purity. That's what we're striving to get to. And that would be to our advantage when we do that. And that's why we hear. Nastapraya Shiva Bhajayasu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. You hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and serve the pure devotees of the Lord. Then all of the anathas, unwanted desires, things that are difficult for us to overcome in the material world, in our activities, Krishna helps to remove those. And devotional service then becomes established as an irrevocable fact in our lives. So, Jatparat is slowly bringing Maharaj Raghugan up to that level by explaining what material life is, by correcting his misconceptions, linking the body to the soul, which is what he did before we got to this point. He's explained all of that. He's now at the point where he is going to talk about the material world, linking it to a forest. And in this particular text, he gives a point that a living entity in the material world, he wanders here in a path that's very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts birth and death. That's a fact that is going on in the material world now. The very first statement, people are wandering in the material world, thinking that they'll have a solution to material life. But there's no solution here. If you deal with materialism, there's no solution. There's no end. The happiness never really comes, because this world is designed for part happiness and part distress. Everybody that takes birth here is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and got kicked out of the spiritual world. That's the first point. It would be best for us to go back to the spiritual world, where there is total bliss, no anxiety. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. The spiritual world, all the spiritual world planets are under the general name Vaikuntha. This place is Kunta. Kunta means anxiety-ridden place. Vaikuntha is no anxiety. That's where real happiness is. So we're trying in material life. We're never satisfied. So Prabhupada gives an example that greed has taken over. Greed. So much so that you know how it breaks things down so simply. A person does something and gets $5. Yeah, $5 is okay. Now these days, the way money is being spent, $5 for so many people is not much at all. For a poor person, $5 may be practically a lucky situation for them. A beggar, like that. But when somebody gets $5, oh, I've got $5. All right, so I'll use it for whatever. Now, if I had doubled that $10, I could do more, right? Yeah. All right, so get $10. Work and get $10. Then for $10, you go, but I could do more on this material world. There's so much to buy. I need $20. Then $100. Then $200. Then $5,000. Then $1 million. Still, even at $1 million, I remember in an interview, a millionaire was interviewed on one of the stations, the popular TV stations. And they asked him, well, now that you've got to $1 million, what's your plan to do? Are you happy? He said, no. Everybody got surprised and go, well, why? He said, because I have to make my next million. See, it never stops. Greed. You might say, oh, if I get to $3 million and I invest it and I just live off of the interest, I'll be fine. Well, that may be a good thought from a material standpoint, but two things are wrong with it. You don't know what the future is like, and you don't know whether you can live off of that interest for the rest of your life comfortably. And what's comfort anyway? New things come out, and I want to get a new thing. Now it's more money. So obviously the money now you live on is not enough. Now you're looking at your nest egg there, the $3 million that you saved. Maybe I should do more with it. See, it's always greed though. And greed is just one of six vices. Lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. And we can sit on greed and talk about it for a long time because businesses advertise for us to be greedy for more things. But we say we're just improving our lives. We say that technology has got to the point where everybody's doing it. So if you don't have that type, you just won't fit with the society. And in this case, it's true. In some point, you know, it's just arguably true. Because in some businesses, it's set up such that even if you're an employee, you have to have certain gadgets to be able to do your work properly. So in a sense, we are trapped. Sometimes we are greedy, and sometimes the institution, the way things are set up, the political system and the businesses cause us to get things that we ordinarily wouldn't have gotten. So now I talk about being trapped. If that's not a trap, I don't know what that is. When you're forced to spend money, when in fact you don't even want to spend money, because you have to get up to a certain level and have some particular gadgets in order to fit into the society and do your job, and so you have to buy it. If the company doesn't get it for you, you have to get it. We're forced to get things. Now, not only that, when a person, as Japad explains here, going through birth and death and accepting another body, see, Prabhupada says in the purport, you're forced to accept another body. If you don't go back to Godhead, you accept the body according to your karma. So even if you live, let's just take a person who lived a terrible life. So they've left their body. And now, whatever situation that they have to go through in some hellish planet, they have gone through that. They have to accept the body. Now, the body is going to be given based on some of the experiences that they have to go through because of their desires and also what they were thinking of at the time of death. So they were thinking about a dog. Well, next life, the subtle body takes the image of a dog. Subtle body, remember, has the mind and intelligence. Those are the ones that have the picture of what we're thinking of. If you see anything, your eyes see it, but then your mind registers it. The eyes are only taking the reflection of it to the mind. That's all it's doing. The mind is the one that accepts that this is whatever the structure is. Table, I have a computer in front of me, my Google Images picture in front of me, cell phone in front of me. All of these things are registered. Now, the mind records these pictures as you see. Therefore, when a person is getting ready to leave, whatever the mind is thinking of is what is going to be continued for that person. And that's why they will be put into a body that describes what the person was thinking. Now, I asked my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Deva Maharaj, and he explained some things to me. I was fortunate to live with him for 2 years, so we had one-on-one many times that I could ask him questions. So we described some of all these things, that some of them in front of me. So, whatever you're thinking of, you're going to get in the next life. If you think of something that's just a thing, you will be put in a situation to come experience that thing. But Bhakti Deva Maharaj explained to me that when a person is dying, the dominant things that they've been thinking of all through their life is what's going to be most prominent in their minds. The dominant thing. So if a person is attached to their dog and they walk their dog every day and they converse about their dogs, other people who are also dog lovers and different types of dog, and I like this one and not, you know, in the meantime, when the dog eliminates in the place that's, you know, considered ritzy, you've got to clean up to the person. This, you know, everything's about the dog. The dog's taken out and the dog just wanders and stops, and the owner that's with the in the leash has to stop also. In the advanced countries, that's the way it is. In America, being one of them. So everything's about the dog. And they die thinking about the dog. And now, it's explained to the soul that, well, that was your dominant thinking. Therefore, you're going to go into a dog's body. You go, no. I was in a human body. I want a human body again. It won't work like that. So Papa says, one will be forced to accept a certain type of body. We'll give an example of a dog body. And protesting will not help. In fact, in the lecture, he said it more specifically. Say, Papa, no, I don't want a dog body. This person is protesting. No, it won't help. You'll be forced to take a dog body. So whatever you're thinking, the predominant thinking at the time, that's what's going to happen for your next life. For my next life. That's why it's important to think of Krishna. And the easiest way to think of Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if throughout the day, every day, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is ringing in our minds, we do our japa, chanting on the beads. And as my godfather one day was preaching, explained that we have to do 16 rounds on the beads and uncountable number of rounds off the beads. Unlimited off the beads, which means all day, whenever our mind is off whatever we're doing, work and so on, immediately mention Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that. Or if you're fortunate to have that type of job, where you're concentrating on something, you're not dealing with other people and you're just working on your own, then you can have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra softly playing, Srila Prabhupada chanting, or some bhajan that reminds you of Krishna. Because you have to remember Krishna throughout the day, so that when it comes time to leave the body, the dominant thing is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Krishna. Krishna in sound form. Krishna is absolute. So everything about Krishna is Krishna. So Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Krishna. Krishna that has come in sound form in this material world. So that's the dominant thing that should be on the mind. Then you have a very big chance of going back to the spiritual world. Now when you think about Hare Krishna Mantra, and say it sometimes, we say think about, because sometimes when you're working and you can't, or in the situation that you're in, actually speak those words, Hare Krishna, then you can have it ringing in your mind also. In that sense, think. So that should be going on. All our lives, somehow we should infuse Hare Krishna mantra into it. Then we'd be in the right frame of mind. And our death will be glorious. Means Krishna will come and take us back to the spiritual world. Now, as that Bharat explains here, a person, he's telling Maharaj Bahugan, living entity is wandering in the path of the material world. It's difficult for him to traverse it, but he does so anyway. He has no choice because this is jail and you have to be released from jail. You can't just get out of jail by yourself. Even if you commit suicide, being tired of this world and you want to get out, still you will be in a situation where you have to stay in your subtle body. You won't get another physical body, and you will have to live the rest of the life that, you know, that if you didn't commit suicide, you would have lived up to. You have to live that in a ghost body. And ghost life is very, very miserable. That's for another time. Very, very miserable. Because ghosts sometimes do horrible things to other ghosts. Because everybody's died in a ghost form where they're not actually in a situation where they're happy. There are no happy ghosts. And so if they're upset with each other, the mind is still there. If they're upset with each other, how are they going to treat each other? So ghosts are horrible. Strangers. Horrible towards each other, usually. That's the case. You don't want to be in a ghost body. And then you take birth again in the material world, which makes the situation even more complicated. The jail time gets longer. So we have to go back to the spiritual world. And Maharaj Rahugan is being taught that for our benefit also. So, sense gratification is what keeps us here. And also trying to live based on the modes. It's almost in one sense, you can't get rid of it because goodness, passion, and ignorance is everybody's lifestyle, basically. It fits in one way or the other. Okay? So, one is suffering material existence. As the Papa says, in this life, one may think is very happy being an American, Indian, Englishman, or German, that is, being in one of those so-called advanced countries. There's still disease. There's still old age. It doesn't matter in an advanced country. In the next life, one has to accept another body. And this goes on and on and on and on. So, this repeated birth and death has to be broken by the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, we as devotees, we are fortunate enough to know how to get out by hearing, by chanting, and doing the other seven processes. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, Srila Prabhupada translates what Krishna talks about, the divisions of faith. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. There's a certain lifestyle we are supposed to live. First, we are told, as devotees, we should live in the mode of goodness, and then chant the Hare Krishna mantra and do bhakti yoga, which is a mode of transcendence. So in our life, it's like that. The physical body does the transcendental thing that it can do for us, including the chanting, hearing, offering obeisances, remembering Krishna, and so on. Being Krishna's friend, being Krishna's servant, offering everything, Atma Nibbana, surrendering fully to the Lord. Those are transcendental things to do. And in our life, we also have to live such that at the very least we are the mode of goodness. So, in chapter 17, text 8, Srila Prabhupada translates Krishna talking about different activities in the modes. Just the foods that we eat first. We offer our food with prasadam, so we're fortunate because the food is even spiritualized. But in general, in text 8, translates, Krishna is saying, foods dear to those in the mode of goodness, they increase the duration of life, they purify one's existence, and they give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. What are the type of foods? They are juicy, they are fatty, they are wholesome, and they are pleasing to the heart. It's not difficult to find out what those are. In fact, if you follow what we're supposed to eat and not eat, based on what Krishna is making us eat, because we are following what he recommends to eat, Krishna Prasadam will actually be fine, the mode of goodness. And then we even offer, which makes it transcendental. Now, modes of passion type food. Prabhupada translates, Krishna is saying, foods that are too bitter or too sour, too salty, too hot, too pungent, too dry, and have a burning sensation they give, those are dear to those in the mode of passion. People who are in the mode of passion, they eat that. What does it do? They cause distress, they cause misery, and they cause disease. So, from a subtle body, distress and misery can come, and from an Ayurvedic standpoint, disease can also come from those. So, foods that are too bitter, we're supposed to stay away from. It does not mean that we can't use things like lemon in cooking. Yes, you can. But the important point here is the foods that are too bitter. That is, if you go too much in that area, use a lot of something that's very bitter, a lot of something that's sour, a lot of something that's too salty, put too much salt in there, too much, spice that makes you very hot, or pungent, or dry, or burning. That's what Krishna is saying you have to stay away from. That's for those in the mode of passion. You are going to be passionate, and I am going to be passionate if we eat those types of food. Which means we will also, which obviously the topmost in passion is sex life, you're more inclined that way. But when we have foods that are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and not sour, too sour, too bitter, or too salty, or too hot, then we're actually eating properly. Now, foods in the mode of darkness or ignorance. Chapter 17, text 10, Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada translates Krishna saying, foods prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten, that is tasteless or decomposed and putrid, and food consists of remnants and untouchable things, is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Now for that one, take a little bit of Srila Prabhupada's purport, a section of it. Foods in the mode of passion, Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is his purport, which are bitter, too salty, too hot, or overly mixed with red pepper, cause misery by reducing the mucus in the stomach. Basically, we're being told that. And that leads to disease. So mucus in the stomach is supposed to prevent disease by coating the stomach. But those kind of foods take away mucus in the stomach. We're not talking about the mucus in our heads, because that gives a problem, right? Sinuses. But mucus has definitely its use. Ayurveda, kapha, vita, vayu, mucus, bile, and air, balanced, then gives a healthy person. Or a healthy body, I should say. So, foods in the mode of ignorance, the Prabhupada continues, are essentially those that are not fresh. Of course, these days we freeze our food too, so talk about technology. Any food cooked more than 3 hours before eating, except prasadam, food offered to the Lord, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. So Srila Prabhupada makes the exception that when it comes to prasad, well, that can go longer. Obviously, we know, in our temples, by the time the food is cooked and offered to the Lord and, given it gets to the devotee, sometimes 3 hours have gone by. Sometimes not, but sometimes it does in fact happen that way, especially when you have big festivals. By the time the prasadam gets to the Rath Yatra side, 3 hours has long gone by, but it's prasadam. And of course it's served for about 5 hours, people joining long lines to take it. So the time doesn't, by the time, from the time the prasadam is, the bhoga is cooked and offered in a Rath Yatra situation, easily 8 hours would have gone by by the time you get it. But it's prasadam. It's prasadam. So, there's nothing wrong with that. But, Okay, let's go on. So, sacrifices. Sacrifices. Sacrifice performed according to the directions of Scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward, that's in the nature of goodness. So when we chant, we chant for the sake of pleasing Guru and Krishna. To the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's sacrifice for this age of Kali Yuga. So when we chant, we should chant not for us. We chant according to instruction first, and later on we develop love, develop the habit of chanting, and then develop love for Godhead, develop love through chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's very powerful because it's saying, Dear Radha and dear Krishna, please allow me or permit me to perform devotional service to you, the best thing that anyone can do. And that's the thing that everybody in the spiritual world does. And serving the servants and the servants of a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our sacrifice, we do it according to the directions of Guru and Krishna, according to the scripture. We do it as a matter of duty, because we are servants. When you're servants, you do your duty. And we should not want anything from it. Ahoitiki apatyata. Ahoitiki is unmotivated. In Bhavatam it says, Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti ahokshaje. Ahotiki apatiyata yayatma supersidati. The best function of a human being is to do that which pertains to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhakti Yoga. And such activity should be unmotivated. There shouldn't be any thought of getting some reward from it. You do it from our hearts. We have to do it from our hearts. Loving the Supreme Personality of God. When a person loves another person, they serve that person not wanting something back. Lust is always something, we have an agreement, I do this, you do this for me. I do this for you, you do this for me. That's an arrangement. But love gives without expecting. So unmotivated is like that. Unmotivated is not wanting anything in return. And not stopping. Apratiyata. No break. That's what's pleasing to the soul. So, sacrifice in the mode of passion is performed for some material benefit. Or sometimes for the sake of pride. That type, Krishna is saying, should be in the mode of, it's in the mode of passion. We should know that it's a mode of passion if we do that. Sacrifice for some material benefit. Some people, they would go through long sacrifices, opulent things, go through so much trouble to perform sacrifice to Lord Shiva because they want material gain from Lord Shiva. That is the sacrifice in the mode of passion. Sacrifice in the mode of... Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, sacrifice for elevation to the heavenly planet, for some material benefits in the world also. Ritualistic kind performances are in the mode of passion. So some people sometimes put sacrifices because they want to go to the heavenly planets. But the heavenly planets is just a little better material lifestyle, but the problems are still there that are in different parts of the material world. Medium planets and also the hellish planets. The problems are still there in heavenly planets too. Just the standard of living is higher, but it's also jail. So to perform sacrifices to get there doesn't make sense when in fact going to the heavenly planet still means you're not out of the material world yet. Now, sacrifice performed without regard for directions of the scripture. This is Bhagavad Gita 17:13. Without distribution of prasadam, without chanting of Vedic hymns, and without giving what's due to the priest, and without faith, that's considered in a mode of ignorance. Demonic rituals are like that. Seances and so on. We'll talk about one more and then we'll stop. Austerities. Austerities of the body. We have to perform. This body is for that. Maharaj Rishabhadev tells his sons in Canto 5, Chapter 5, that we shouldn't live life, especially the first text, it says we shouldn't live life that the animals do. Seeking sense gratification. Animals do that. It's there for the dogs and the hogs. Rather, we should go through austerities. Tapovidyaputraka. My dear sons, use this body for austerities. So a few things about austerities in chapter 17, again, 14 and 15 texts. Austerity of the body. It consists of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, paying respects and worshiping the spiritual master, and also being relating well to parents, and being clean, simple, celibate, and nonviolent. That's austerity of the body. Austerity of speech consists of being truthful and speaking in a pleasing way and a beneficial way, and not agitating others. That's austerity of speech. Austerity of the mind. A person should be simple, should be grave, should be self-controlled, and work to purify one's existence. And for us, it's very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And to the austerities of mind, Srila Prabhupada adds in the purport, to make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It's also repeated by Maharaj Yashavadev in Canto 5 of Bhagavatam, Chapter 5, Text 10 through 13. Talks about the qualities, again, avoid sense gratification, detest sense gratification. He uses strong words there. The mind should be so trained that it can always think of doing good for others. Every time you meet somebody and you talk to them, in the conversation, your mind should be at, how can I help this person? Always. You should be saying something or doing something for that person while you are associating with them, so that they're benefiting. Alright, I have a couple more to talk about, but I'll stop here because it's already 8 o'clock. And if the devotees like, I'll talk about penance and also charity. Those are the two that are left. But I'll stop here for now. Hare Krishna. But if we don't do that, we can do that next time. So let me read the text again. Translation. Jatvarat, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, "My dear King Rahugan, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of nature, of material nature, Sattva-gun, Rajagun, and Tamogun, that is goodness, passion, and ignorance, the living entity can only see the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious, and mixed, as we talked about in the text itself. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic type of liberation, which is merging with the Supreme." My bodies talk about merging with the Supreme. "He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters the forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve happiness within this material world." Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And I apologize for what we had to go through this morning with technology and myself to my computer. Hare Krishna. So, I can unmute the phones. Go ahead, Prabhu. Okay.
Yeah, it was a great reminder how it's very essential to keep Krishna in the center of your life, in the primary background of your life. So, sometimes in material life, we are in grihastha ashram, we also need to live material life. So, we don't know when the death will come. So, if someone dies while doing some engrossed material activity, it's so difficult, right?
What happens?
So all the pious activities which he has done previously, all the chanting is done, all the, that counts, right?
Yes, and it's a very important point you brought up. You know, the way you phrased the question, I know where you were going with it. So here's a devotee. Let me just see if I understand how your question by how we phrase this. Okay, I'll just paraphrase it and see, tell me if I'm correct. So you're thinking particularly about a devotee, right? They've been doing all these past activities, or it could be somebody in the mode of goodness too who will go to heavenly planets anyway. Or a person who's a devotee who's been chanting. So there's a chance to go to the spiritual world. But sometimes when we're working, we involve ourselves in other things, and at that time we're not chanting. Okay, or, you know, just briefly. And then death comes suddenly and we leave our bodies, not thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody is around the chant at that time and we're dead. So what happens? Is that your question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. All right. Now, unfortunately, we may think that it's going to put us in a bad situation because what we're thinking of, according to Krishna, is where we're going to go, or the body that relates to that, without a doubt. But, and here's a big part, the other part of it that is very beneficial for the Buddhists. The difference is Lord Chaitanya himself. Krishna that has come, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to supply Krishna Prema profusely. Krishna Prema is hard to get. What does the Lord do? There's another benefit that he gives that Tanamaya Swami explained. So a devotee who leaves the body suddenly, at a time they're not thinking about Krishna. Remember, the mind is what does the thinking. So if the mind thinks of Krishna, then you go to Krishna. So a person in that situation, but who has been serving throughout their lives, and been chanting throughout their lives, and been hearing and doing the things the spiritual master says to do, when they leave their life, and when they leave the body suddenly, just that moment, not thinking about Krishna, Chanamaya Swami explains that Lord Chaitanya will force the image of himself into the mind of the devotee just before death. It's that good. It's that, Lord Chaitanya is that merciful. Of course, the person that's dying doesn't know the death is coming, but God knows everything. So Lord Chaitanya knows that the death is coming. So it may be sudden, but just before the death, Lord Chaitanya will force his, this is how Chanamaya Swami explained it, he will force his mind and force his image into the mind of the devotee. So just a split second before that, the Lord will cause the devotee to remember him, just so when he dies, he can go back. That's how good, that's how protected we are. Hare Krishna. Just want to make that point. Good question to ask. Yeah. So now you know that we're not going to be shortchanged. We're not going to be shortchanged, literally. Nobody is. Is that good? Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy. Any other question?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai. 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 God's your father.
How can one offer prasadam at home even with a simple deity?
Okay. This question happens, this is asked by so many people. When you come new into Krishna consciousness, I'll broaden the question a little bit, because this is a real practical thing that happened to many devotees, myself included. When we first came to Krishna consciousness, we don't know how to chant mantras, we don't know how to offer properly, and so on. What do you do? So the simplest thing to do, of course you have to learn the mantras later, or the earlier the better. But when you cook, first of all, don't taste it. Okay? When you finish, then you offer to your deity, or if you don't have a deity, you have a picture of a deity, but you definitely should have the picture of a spiritual master. If you're not initiated, have a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And the Lord in his most munificent form, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishna as Lord Chaitanya. So, picture of Gonitai. So, the devotee that's new, you're not initiated, a picture of Srila Prabhupada, a picture of Gonitai. And if you like Radha Krishna, you can have, but those two should be there, spiritual master and Gonitai. Then take a plate, one plate, It's nice stainless steel type bowls and plates that are offered to Krishna. You don't have that, don't worry about it. Later on, you can change to all of that, but we're talking about initially. One plate should be for serving what you have cooked, and don't use that plate for anything else. And keep it in such a way that nobody else will think to use that plate, maybe a cup, set aside for offering. And what we've done, you know, in the past when we didn't have the stainless steel, now we have all of that at home. But what we did was we had a nice little towel, nice, you know, not a big one, the ones in the kitchen. And you cover that plate with it, the plate and a cup with it, and set it on the side. So that even if somebody comes to visit and they open your, you know, kitchen, and they see there some plates, they want to take a plate, but they see a plate covered with a nice towel, you know, they will say that, well, there must be something special about this, because they normally don't open the plate, put out the covering, you know, something on top of it before you take the plate. So that would, in fact, keep people's minds away. This is all practical experience we had to do in Girinagri. At first, when we were living with our spiritual master and we didn't have everything, we did that. So that way, you keep it simple. And then you offer. Now, you don't know all the mantras. Well, there's a mantra that Srila Prabhupada that you can read. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimadhi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Yajinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabhani Pacharini Nirvishya Sarasunyavadi Pastatya Desi Charini. There's other ones too, but you say that one, and then you say the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is a universal mantra. Everybody that comes to, we get taught that. If all else you don't know, in all else you're not aware of, in terms of how to say it off the top of your head, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can be said off the top of our heads. We all know that. You say that. And then you allow, you offer your obeisance, and you allow 5 or 10 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes is good enough, for the Lord to finish eating, and then you take it and wash the plates. Then you can, you take the bhog that the Lord will eat, usually they eat by looking at it, so then the prasadam, it's turned into prasadam, it's still there, and then you add it to your plate and eat. You have it that way. You take, you honor your prasadam. So that's the simplest way to go about it. There's so much mercy built into this system. If you want to really learn how to offer properly, that's there. You talked about a simple one. You can chant your spiritual masters 3 times, pranams 3 times, and then you go to other ones too. I don't want to go through a long thing here, but I, you know, can tell you later on if you want to know. But the simplest way is what we described. For people who come new into Krishna consciousness, you have a picture of a spiritual master. You're not initiated, so you have a picture of Srila Prabhupada. You have a picture of Guru Nitai. The Lord, two brothers raising their hands up like that. That's a picture of Guru Nitai. And then you have a plate specially set aside for serving, and a cup specially set aside for serving. For serving your boga. You cook without tasting it. Of course, you cook based on what we eat and what we don't eat, foods and water goodness. And then you chant as described to you, simple. And then you allow the Lord to eat. You wait about 5 minutes. And then you take the offering. If you cook different preps, then you should assume a lot of different preps. You should let it go longer. Just like everybody's eating, they're not going to finish in a minute. So, you know, in a minute. So you just let it go longer. And then you take the plates, wash them, you transfer all of that, the prasadam, the maha prasadam, you transfer and then wash. And then you can say the prasadam prayer. And if you don't know the prasadam prayer, again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then you take. But later on, of course, you have to learn the proper way to do it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for listening. We can talk more.
Later, yeah.
I have another question,
okay.
If that's okay.
Yes. Go on.
In regards to, I don't know, we didn't speak on it today, but we spoke on trips before, and becoming comfortable, and then when externalities come up and things like that, I find goodness, absolutely. If we do, we take care of individuals with disabilities.
Yeah.
As I said before, having to rub elbows with society and go out and eat soda and things like that, or even a work culture that may not be necessarily the best for myself and may be an externality that hits me and causes suffering and may disrupt my spiritual life. Is there a point where even if your job, you feel like your job is a mode of goodness, it may be too much and it may just be time to think about pulling back from an occupation and moving on to something else?
Very good question. We could answer it directly, but actually it's best to answer it very much from the point of view of Krishna consciousness. And the reason we're saying that is, it is not uncommon for employment situations to change when one becomes a devotee. What happens is, the more enthusiastic a devotee is, the more enthusiastic, that is, you come to Krishna consciousness, you're new, very excited about Krishna consciousness, which is wonderful. Krishna will, in fact, make an adjustment. In fact, I was listening to a lecture, 5-minute, quick section of what Srila Prabhupada said, that Krishna will change the situation for you to make you even more Krishna conscious. And sometimes, based on the type of job you have, and how much time it does not allow you to do more things in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will change the situation of your employment so that you can get even closer to him. Sometimes, Srila Prabhupada explained it this way. It's very short, as I was listening to it yesterday. He explained that in a situation where Krishna gives mercy, and how does he give mercy? We said in situation. What is a situation? A situation, just like I described, somebody is very interested. Their mind is so much in the Krishna consciousness. They want to do more, but their day's work doesn't allow them to, or they're getting turned off by some things about the job, interfering, in the way they want their Krishna consciousness to be. Therefore, they're wishing that they could change it. So either that they're wishing that, or Krishna sees that this person could be more serious if I adjusted their lifestyle. Krishna will begin to adjust the lifestyle. Now, one thing I have to warn you about, and that's very, very important, that is, in adjusting 99.9999 cases, when Krishna is adjusting a person's life to come to Krishna consciousness more, to embrace it more, he takes away some material things. Therefore, there will be experience of something that may be unexpected from the material standpoint, or may be difficult from the material standpoint. Never think that Krishna has abandoned you. It would be a big mistake, even though materially things may seem to be difficult. Just for that period of time, it's like a pregnant woman who is in labor, where the child is getting ready to come, but the pregnancy is difficult. That time, the labor, not pregnancy. The whole pregnancy can be quite challenging. But those few hours, sometimes it's 4 hours, sometimes it goes as much as 48 hours, before the child comes out of the womb, through the vaginal canal, through the womb, it's terrible. It's terrible. But when the child gets born, everybody's happy. What a beautiful child, and on and on and on. So in the same way, when a person is changing situations sanctioned by Krishna so that they can become more Krishna conscious, that period of time may be difficult. And you just pray and you associate with devotees more, and you also talk more to the person you trust the most. That's why Nectar of Instruction says you got to reveal your mind in confidence with somebody who is quite seasoned and trustworthy and can keep your confidential things confidential. Confidential statements confidential, you open up to them. More than likely, they've been through it anyway. Most of the devotees who are fixed up have been through a difficult time. But that was a time that Krishna changed their lives to become more Krishna conscious. So that time may come, or Krishna may see, all right, well, in the job situation, you're still able to do your Krishna conscious as well, so there's no need to change it. You can leave that also. But in order to improve and go up anytime. It's like a school. In order to be more advanced, you stay in the same grade. Of course not. You go up to second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and so on. So you will change, and the material will get more challenging and also more rewarding. So that definitely will come to anybody who is serious. So if in your job situation you begin to feel a little bit that you want to detach from it, as long as you keep your Krishna consciousness going, your sadhana going, Krishna will arrange to change it or will bring something into the job that's more beneficial so you can stay with it and be more Krishna conscious. That's totally up to him. But you definitely at that time should take your chanting in a more desperate way seriously and also make sure that you're not the judge and the jury and the prosecution and defense for everything. You have to be talking to other people who are seasoned, men and women, feminine standpoint, masculine standpoint. That's always good because we relate the material to the spiritual. So there may be things going on in the material job, but still it relates to the spiritual. You connect it to the spiritual. The person who is seasoned can point those things out to you and point those things out to you in a, from male to male, or men how they feel and women how they feel towards men. You get all of that. That is the goodness part of it, the material goodness part of it. And then the spiritual, they can guide you like that when you make a change. But 99.9 of the devotees do in fact go through some kind of change with Krishna, looking to improve their life when they're serious. Those who are not serious, usually you just stay the same way. Business as usual. Hare Krishna. So I hope that helps.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for visiting here. Yeah. I love how you said ask everyone to confide in your Sadhu Sangha. That's the biggest net. Thank you. I've been trying to talk to a lot of devotees about this. And thank you, Sadhuji.
Okay. Talk to the few that you can really trust and they're seasoned. Everybody you can talk to, but not so much, yeah.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. So, any other questions?
What should I do?